Roger Federer completes the sunshine double. He wins in Miami for a third time in his career. It's a 2017 that surely even he couldn't have dreamed of. He is dominating the tennis world right now.
Indeed he is. The tennis TV commentator isn't lying. Federer is the man of the moment. His 6-3, 6-4 victory last Sunday over Rafael Nadal furnished him with the Miami Open. It was his third title of the year and the 91st in his career. In January in Melbourne, Federer beat Nadal to win the Australian Open. That was his 18th Grand Slam trophy. And a few weeks ago, he got past Nadal on his way to collecting the Indian Wells Masters, the first part of the Sunshine Double. Not at all bad for a man who was away from the game for 6 months, recovering from an injury. Not bad at all for a man many thought to be way past his best. Kevin Mitchell is the tennis correspondent for the London-based newspaper The Guardian.
Well, it's an extraordinary comeback by Federer because nobody predicted it, least of all him. I mean, when he returned in Melbourne, he thought he might reach the quarterfinals. And, of course, he did much better than that. He won the whole championship, and he came from 3-1 down in the fifth set against Nadal to do it. I mean, it was just one extraordinary performance after the other. So that clearly lifted him, and physically he must have been completely rehabilitated. Because of the way he's looked after himself, that one injury, which required the only surgery of his life, doesn't seem to have had any adverse effect whatsoever with the proper treatment, and I think that's the secret.
It probably helps too if you start to have the feeling you're finally getting the better of your nemesis. The Miami Open final was the 37th meeting between Nadal and Federer. They first went head-to-head in April 2004 in Miami. Back then, Federer already had two Grand Slam titles in his cabinet, and he was also the world number one. 17-year-old Nadal was being touted as the next big thing. The Spaniard gave notice of his precocity by beating Federer in straight sets. Their next encounter, a year later, was in the Miami Open final. Back in 2005, the final was the best of five sets. And after a couple of hours, Nadal was two sets up and leading by a break in the third. But Federer managed to come back and win. On the eve of the 2017 final, Federer called that return from the brink one of the defining matches of his career. He said it proved he could fight for something. Federer also won the 2006 final, and the 35-year-old was delighted with his latest triumph in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to win Indian Wells, Miami back-to-back. For the last time I was in the finals here, I think it was 11 years ago against my coach now, Ivan Ljubicic. So it's been quite a journey here in Miami. Sometimes I couldn't play, sometimes I didn't play, sometimes I wanted to play, but couldn't. And here I am now in the finals and beating my old rival from ever, you know, Rafa, where it all started back here in 2004. So what a great atmosphere it was again. And, you know, I played and produced some great tennis, which I'm surprising myself. So I'm happy I kept it going, and I didn't think I had it in me that I had so much energy left in the tank. I definitely need a break right now.
Well, Nadal probably needs a break from Federer too. The 30-year-old has won 23 of their 37 encounters. But Federer has beaten him an unprecedented four times in a row. Despite the slump, Nadal was ever gracious.
First of all, I have to say congrats to Roger and all his team. Well, amazing start of the season. I think one of the best comebacks ever on the tour after a long injury. So well done. Very happy for you. I just can say thank you very much. Everybody here in Miami have been a very good 2 weeks for me. Even if I lost for the third time this year with Roger, was a good start of the season. No, playing already three finals. Disappointing for me that I am trying during all my career. Every 3 years I am here in this position, but always with the smaller trophy. So.
So
So I'm gonna keep trying hard for the next couple of years. Hopefully, I will not have to wait 3 more years to be in that position fighting again for a title. But the only thing that I can say is many thanks to all the crowd. Have been a huge privilege to play in front of you during the whole tournament. Have been a huge support, and just can say thank you very much for all the feelings that you make me feel on court. Thank you.
Well, over the years in Miami finals, Nadal's lost twice to Federer, twice to Novak Djokovic, and once to Nikolai Davydenko. Davydenko, who's 2 months older than Federer, retired from the circuit in October 2014, finally accepting that successive injuries had taken their toll. And following his victory in Miami, Federer said he didn't want to go the same way.
I think I will only just play the French Open. I'll probably take 10 weeks off, just recover with the body, prepare it again so I'm ready for the French, if that at all, and then Wimbledon, you know, all the grass season, and then the hard courts after that. So I think that I've been pushing the body enough now, so I just need to listen to its signs now.
If he does take the stated full 10 weeks off, Federer will miss the French Open, which is at the end of May. But if that's what he wants to do, who are we to say, "Oi, Federer, no, you're well out of order"? Kevin Mitchell.
He's got the luxury of being able to stay away from the tour, having won so many titles and having been around for so long. And of course, he's Federer. It's as simple as that. And I've got to say, he played tennis in Indian Wells and then in Miami every bit as good as when he was at his peak, and similarly in Melbourne. So, you know, he's lost one match in 20 all year. It's an extraordinary performance.
So what seems to have changed? Is he hitting the ball earlier, or just having so much of a laugh that he's playing free and without a care?
That's a little bit to do with it. He's flattened out his backhand, which everyone has noticed, of course. He started doing that in Melbourne, and I think he's taken advice there that it's a pretty good way to finish a point if he gets the opportunity. And that's something he's worked on, and he's always been like that throughout his career. In fact, a few years ago, he started coming to the net a lot more. He started volleying more than he had done for a very long time, which is, of course, how he started out when he was young. And he trusts his talent. And if you've got as much talent as Federer, that's a pretty good thing to trust.
Has he also been lucky that Andy Murray, the world number one, is injured, and Novak Djokovic, the world number two, seems out of sorts mentally? Of all factors combined for Federer at the moment?
They all came together, didn't they, at the same time? I think Andy's injury, which he picked up, it seems, in Indian Wells and didn't really want to aggravate, that seems to be okay. Djokovic's injury reaches back to last summer after winning the French when he had that sort of dreadful run pretty much on and off the court in various ways. From Wimbledon onwards, when he lost to Sam Querrey and just couldn't hang on to his number one spot, while Murray played week in, week out, sort of lights out tennis to take the number one spot, and to the point where he's now about 4,000 points in front of Djokovic. So, yeah, those two guys were battling away at the top of the rankings while Federer was away looking after this injury. So the way those three players have been affected by the long haul of their careers, all combined at the same time, you can call it luck or whatever you want to call it, that's played well for Federer and not so well for Murray and Djokovic, although they are still 1 and 2.
And when they both return from their ailments, they'll be doing their level best to make sure that Federer doesn't steal any more of the limelight. Well, that's it from Sports Insight for this week. My thanks to Alain Bleu for production. From me, Paul Myers, ciao.